Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. You know as well as I know that the death of Senator Ed Kennedy is the death of a man, absolutely, and everything that he was to the people in his extended family. But we also understand it's the death of an era, one of the remaining, if not the remaining, linchpin of liberalism in this country is gone. And you all know what the term linchpin means. So with the death of Ted Kennedy last night, liberalism in this country has lost its champion, the person who in the modern era personified liberalism to a greater degree than anyone in Congress. And I think his death heralds the beginning of a very, very, very dark period in this country. I remember feeling that way in 1963 and again in 1968 when his two brothers were murdered by the right wing in this country. But Kennedy's death, when one considers his legislative record, I don't think there's an aspect of life in America that was not that is on the progressive side, that is on the liberal side, that is on the caring side. Legislation designed to help people, not legislation designed to further the acquisition of power by corporations, not legislation designed to avoid responsibility by corporations. None of that. I'm talking about legislation passed by Congress over the past 40 years that seriously concerned itself with bettering the lives of people in this country. Each piece of that legislation can be directly or indirectly attributed to Senator Ed Kennedy. And there's nobody left at this point. There are still a couple of good men in Congress, yes. Still a couple of good senators. Bernie Sanders, I'm sure. I don't know. I'm not going to go down the list. It's kind of pointless. But there's nobody left in the Senate or the House, and you pretty much have to stick with the Senate when you come to these monumental figures. There's no one left that speaks and thunders for the ideas of liberal politics being the basis on which this country was established, the basis on which any legislation over the course of this country that was ever passed, liberalism was there to jam it down the throats of or ignore the right-wingers in Congress, which would be Republicans and conservatives who never cared a tinker's damn about the American people or the American society. It's always been liberalism. Prairie 2 sent this in right before the show. Let me share it with you. Under the subject line, I thought I saw him walking up over the hill. Teddy Kennedy was capable of partying like a frat boy, as are most men of power and privilege, something sanctimonious conservatives would constantly say proved he had no moral values. But his values weren't just empty campaign slogans, like the usual spew from the right. He wouldn't give a speech making promises to retirees in the morning and conspire to steal their life savings by afternoon. He was a rich kid who didn't need to work, just like George W. Bush. The difference is that Kennedy wanted to leave a legacy of peace and healing, not a trail of death and suffering. Was he a perfect man? Of course not. But he wasn't a cynical, smirking hypocrite. He had plenty, and he didn't need to steal more to prove he was the biggest man. He wasn't afraid of the unwashed masses. He didn't hold them in contempt, and he didn't see them as so much fodder for the mill. He was a liberal, like the men of history who created the United States. They weren't perfect either. But they and he change things for the better. In the end, that's all you can ask of a public servant. Prosperity, too. So Kennedy's death, that has been chronicled all day, interestingly, I had to do it. After about an hour and a half or 2 hours of coverage today, I decided to see what the propaganda network was doing, and I switched to Fox News, and they were interviewing somebody about, not interviewing a rational person, but someone from their stable about, and it's eminently forgettable, whatever it was. And then again, just for the sheer hell of it, this afternoon, I watched a little bit of Hardball, Chris Matthews and all his guests talking about Kennedy, switched to CNN, Wolf Blitzer and his guests talking about Kennedy, and then went to the Suiciders program on Fox, which I honestly have never done before. And there was Beck, and he had as his guest Karl Rove. And before he started bringing Karl Rove into the discussion, Beck, in that inimitable way of a borderline sociopath and someone who has the potential to murder his own self and probably will for the ratings, Beck was talking about an exoskeleton being created, a machine created by the Obama administration into which was to be stuffed the remaining ideals of America, converted and hybridized into something horrible. What do you think, Carl? Carl, don't you feel the construction of this machine? I mean, it was the mad ravings of a lunatic. There is no question. None. So after about 2 minutes, no, this is not for me. So, because of the fact that you have been, like I have been, I stayed away from television today because, as is the tradition of television, when someone of the stature of Ted Kennedy dies, whether it is political stature or pop music stature, and yes, such a thing does exist, like Michael Jackson, the coverage becomes wall-to-wall and endless until, in its repetition, it starts to lose impact, for me anyway, lose meaning. So I stayed away from it. I'll take my time in tracking down some of the videos that were put out there today about the legacy of this man. As I wrote in my little mini blog today, he was a, he was a central character in my life story. Just by virtue of the fact that I was aware of his importance. He was a central character, whether we want to admit it or not, in every American's life story for the past 45, 50 years. There is no getting around it. There's just no way to get around it. And he was a central character in the national stories of so many foreign countries, from Ireland to South Africa. Ted Kennedy had the ability and the presence to understand how the human spirit needs to feel whole. And he worked toward that end. And he's going to be missed. And we're going to talk a little bit about this this evening. So stay with us. 21 past the hour. It is a cold reality about Ted Kennedy that some of the most moving words he spoke were at funerals or memorial services. God knows this man attended more than should be allowed for anybody. So many of them were family members, nuclear family as well as extended family. There's a couple here. After his brother Robert had been assassinated on June 8th, 1968 at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, Ted Kennedy gave the eulogy for his brother and called him a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it.
My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. To be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it. Those of us who loved him and who take him to his rest today pray that what he was to us, what he wished for others, will someday come to pass for all the world. As he said many times in many parts of this nation, to those he touched and who sought to touch him, some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not?
And, of course, the irony is inescapable. While this eulogy was Ted's praise for his now-dead brother, Robert, same words could be said for him. That he was a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, suffering and tried to heal it, and war and tried to stop it. I think it goes without saying that Ted Kennedy was unique. You know, we can focus, if we want to, on Chappaquiddick, which I'm sure will be done by the right-wing monsters in this country. We could also focus on his father, Joe, who was a criminal and a Nazi sympathizer, a bootlegger. Okay. You know, we can do that too, but that has to do with them, not Ted Kennedy. Kennedy speaks here to the Alaska Democratic Party Convention in Sitka on April 17th, 1968. Shortly after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Kennedy was standing in for his brother Robert, who had been scheduled to speak on civil rights.
I found myself recalling that day before the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, when Martin Luther King stood before a crowd of 250,000 Americans, proclaimed that he had a dream. He had a dream in which freedom would ring out for all Americans from the coast of Maine to Alaska, to the mountains, the east, to the mountains, to the west. He will never see that dream. The moment that we realize that his dream is truly our dream, and the moment we work as individuals to make it come true, we will be one again, we will be strong again, we will proceed as a nation to the fulfillment of our destiny, to the fulfillment of the statement that this nation is the most important occurrence of the second thousand years.
And, of course, that occurred, that speech was given 2 months before Robert, less than 2 months before Robert was assassinated. When we come back after this break, we're going to have a Bridget Speaks regular feature on the Molloy program. And her essay this evening, if it is an essay, I don't think any of the people who contribute to this program see their work as essays, more like a point of view, some inner revelation, perhaps. So Bridget's tonight is Ted Kennedy, of course.
The thing I think I cannot do, that you do what's right by your heart and soul. It's the imperfections make us
the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Molloy.
Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away. And all your money won't another minute.
25 before the hour. Quick email here from Sonny. I believe Sonny's a trucker. All right, it's Mike. Let's not forget Senator Kennedy's close relationship with his mother. I'm not sure why. Could be ethnicity. Could be any number of reasons. But Rose Kennedy instilled in her children the idea that to whom much is given, much is expected. We need to be grateful to her and those like her, not for politics, but for reality. Think of Rose Kennedy. And then think of Barbara Bush. It is time once again for Bridget Speaks. The subject line in tonight's Bridget Speaks is Ted Kennedy, of course. Hi, Mike. It's another one of those days. I was not surprised by this one. We had a close friend who fought the battle of brain cancer, and I've recognized the markers on the road. Like you, I was surprised by the immediate rush of tears about how much this death matters to me. I, like so many of my generation, had my political and social ideals formed by the vision and inspiration of the Kennedy brothers, including Teddy, who held to those ideals until the end. You will undoubtedly receive a ton of emails today with personal thoughts and memories about this passing, a testament to how deeply this man and his family legacy touched people's lives. I have no unique perspectives to offer, but I feel the need to comment on what seems to be the death of an era as well as the death of a man. My first memory of the Kennedys was in the 1960 election when my father, a card-carrying member of the John Birch Society, in the county with the highest per capita John Birch membership in the country, screamed at me about the dangers of the Soviets and how Kennedy would sell this country out to them. I was 12 years old and touched not by the fears of the past, but the hopes and visions of the possible future to which JFK spoke. I came of age in the idealism of the Peace Corps, the battle for civil rights, and the passionate opposition to an illegal war. Although my politics have always been called radical by those who cling passionately to the structures of authoritarian wealth, I've always considered myself a liberal in the Kennedy sense of the word. Teddy, last December at Harvard, quoted his brother John, quote, he said, if by a liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their jobs, their schools, their civil rights, their civil liberties, someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicion that grips us, if that is what they mean by liberal, I am proud to be a liberal, end quote. John Kennedy said the words, but was not allowed to live them out. Bobby took up the mantle and met the same fate. Teddy lived them. I'm sure the right wing will manage to insert Chappaquiddick into the conversation whenever possible, but that simply confirms the right's maniacal focus on the negative of any situation. How many of us have a moment of horrible judgment in our past? How many of us have risen from that moment to devote our lives to improving the lives of others? It was, perhaps, because of that tragedy that he was able to fight with such passion and humility for the least among us. Ted Kennedy was much more than just a man. He was the last symbolic figure for a mindset that believed anything was possible, that we not only could but should eliminate poverty and disease and ignorance and give every child in the world the opportunity to reach for whatever they had the capacity to become. I can only hope that his way of believing in the world does not die with him, that his death may serve as a spark to rekindle the fires of liberal values in those of us who still carry those embers in our souls. The darkness is pretty dismal out there, but even one candle makes a difference. Ted Kennedy believed, I think, to his dying day, that it is still possible to put enough candles together to make a dent in the darkness. He showed us what it means to keep it lit. Ted Kennedy fought for health care for his entire career. He did not live to see it happen, but he taught us a valuable lesson. We may not achieve our goals, but we can't ever give up the fight. In that speech at Harvard last December, he seemed to be saying goodbye, and he had some words to leave us with. He said, the future will live on without us. All of us will live on in the future we make. Thank you, Ted Kennedy. Rest in peace. We got time to do this? Yeah, I think we can squeeze this one in. In 1980, Ted Kennedy addressed the Democratic National Convention in New York City. He had just come through a very heated primary campaign against Jimmy Carter. During his dramatic speech, he called for a renewed commitment to social and economic justice for everybody.
We cannot have a fair prosperity in isolation from a fair society. So I will continue to stand for a national health insurance. We must not surrender to the relentless medical inflation that can bankrupt almost anyone, and that may soon break the budgets of government at every level. Let us insist on real controls over what doctors and hospitals can charge, and let us resolve that the state of a family's health shall never depend on the size of a family's wealth. And someday, long after this convention, long after the signs come down and the crowd stop cheering and the band stop playing, may it be said of our campaign that we kept the faith, May it be said of our party in 1980 that we found our faith again. And may it be said of us both in dark passages and in bright days, in the words of Tennyson that my brothers quoted and loved, and that have special meaning for me now. I am a part of all that I have met. Too much is taken, much abides. That which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. For me, a few hours ago, this campaign came to an end. For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
It is impossible to imagine that sort of rhetoric coming from any other senator. Even in his best moments, bless his heart, Dennis Kucinich, Barack Obama, they don't approach that. They don't come close to it, which is not a reflection on any shortcoming on their parts, but rather the absolute command of language that Ted Kennedy, and I think above all three of the Kennedy brothers who had such influence in this country, Ted Kennedy's rhetorical powers and his delivery and his style, I think, were deeply embedded to a greater degree than Jack Kennedy or Bobby Kennedy. That's just my 25-cent evaluation. We'll be back. Stay with us. Portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. It's about 9 before the hour. There's one more piece of audio I want to play for you during the next hour of the program after this break. Here's a statement from Dennis Kucinich. He writes, I first met Senator Kennedy on May 4th, 1971, when he visited me at St. Alexis Hospital in Cleveland. I was then a Cleveland City Councilman recovering from an injury, and somehow he discovered I was in the hospital and paid a surprise visit to my room. He was visiting hospitals as part of his national effort to raise awareness of the need for reform in our healthcare system. I was elated to meet him. The visit began a friendship which has spanned four decades, during which time I had the privilege of serving with Senator Kennedy in the United States Congress. His compassion and caring was always personal and always real. When my brother Perry died unexpectedly in December of 2007, Ted Kennedy was one of the first to call with condolences, sharing his sympathetic understanding of what it means to lose a sibling. He had a powerful sensitivity to human emotion, and his life writ large the range of human experience, great triumphs and sudden reversals. His tenacity often came against the heavy burden of deep personal tragedy, which enlarged the quality of his spirit and made his frequent expressions of humor poignant and profound. Yes, he made himself into one of the greatest senators with his advocacy for human rights, for health care, education, and worker protections. But Ted Kennedy was more than a great senator. He was a great friend. Statement issued today by Dennis Kucinich. Nora sent that in. Thanks, Nora. We don't have much of a structure for this evening's program. I think what we will probably do is take some calls next hour about the passing of Ted Kennedy. There are several items, a whole stack of items that I was hoping to get to today, but it occurred to me some point this afternoon that while these topics and items and yada, yada, yada are certainly timely and important and should be discussed or brought up on the program, it just seems like not the thing to do on this particular day. Not that we are, you know, offering up a wake on this program tonight, because we're not. But it just seems almost impertinent to discuss what happened when Howard Dean and Jim Moran, House member from Virginia, Democrat, tried to hold a town hall meeting last night, and the anti-abortion freaks led by Randall Terry turned the place into another sewer. I watched that video today, too, that YouTube video. Oh, my God. The evil that's afoot in this country that's personified by these right-wingers is just... it's incredible. And also a conversation about, you know, the rise of the militias and the screaming from the monkey right. Where were these people during 8 years of Bush and Cheney, when the Constitution was under attack? These cowardly bastards made so much noise during the Clinton years. And then they just crawled back into their hidey holes during the Bush-Cheney years, and now they're out again during the Obama years. And as I've said before, I honestly believe it's because to the last man and woman, these militia types are absolute cowards. They are just spineless cowards. You take away their guns and their little toy camo outfits and their little romps in the woods, and you have a cowardly, frightened, sick little man. And they understood that during the Bush-Cheney years that Bush-Cheney would hire Blackwater to come and waste their asses out in the woods of Michigan or Arizona or wherever they play their silly little games. And they also hide from the very right-wingers that they claim not to be. This is what cowards do. This is why Hitler had to remove the SA once he took power. The bully boys. The people in Germany in the 20s and early 30s who used to go into the woods there with their little toy cannons and pretend like they were saving the Republic. But I don't want to talk about cowards and half-wits tonight. I just don't. I don't want to talk about the suiciding, deluded freak, Glenn Beck, or the drug-addled Rush Limbaugh, or any of these people. We'll be back after the break. This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. We are talking about the death late last night, early this morning, of Senator Ted Kennedy. Got an email from William in Hollywood. He writes, the Kennedy name has been here all my life as senators and president. I was in high school gym class. We were taken inside and told to sit against the lockers, and then we were told about JFK. We were sent home and spent the days watching black and white television as the dark days of the funeral proceeded. We watched Oswald shot on television, the Warren Commission, and heard all the speculation. These were some dark times. Not long after, yet before this darkness lifted and the reality finally set in, Martin Luther King and soon Robert Kennedy were gunned down. Then it was John Kennedy Jr., and all the while there was Teddy, almost in a state of endless personal loss, yet he somehow managed to stand tall and endure and fight the good fight against all odds or expectations. Now they're all gone. And the past rushes forward to bind with the present, leaves an emptiness that I fear can never be filled. These people, with their brave choice and determination, were one of a kind, and this country does not produce these sorts of true leaders any longer. Modern times and ease of ignorance have all but erased the desire they had, which was focused on the people, common working people, and a better future. William. Yeah, can you imagine a George W. Bush, or for that matter, a Bill Clinton, or a George Herbert Walker Bush, or a Sarah Palin, or a John McCain, or any of these presidents engaging in the kind of rhetorical brilliance that that Ted Kennedy was so good at. I don't know who wrote his stuff. Maybe it was Ted Sorensen. I have no idea who his speechwriters were. Whoever they were damn good. Maybe he wrote his speeches. But the delivery was the part that I think most of us will remember.
Well, given the fact that his speeches, which spanned decades, all had a kind of a similar cadence and theme, and either he had the same speechwriter for 20, 30, 40 years, or he had a big hand in writing them himself, because you, it's sort of like Dennis Kucinich's speeches, I mean, or Robert Byrd, for that matter, or Bernie Sanders. When they make an impression on you, you could read them and know who wrote them, or you could hear them. Someone else could read them. You know what I mean? So I doubt it was one speech, right? I think he would have had to have...
Yeah.
It's my impression.
No, you're right. You're right. And the knowledge that Ted Kennedy has been trying since the Nixon years to get health care for all Americans into reality... Nixon had a health care plan, but it had to do with private insurance, and Kennedy worked against it. Kennedy was an early advocate of single payer. Report came out today, I think. Was it today? It's a new book out. That's right. I was listening to NPR today. They were interviewing the author. It's a book about the state of physical health or physical sickness in this country. And in terms of all the industrialized Western nations, the so-called rich countries, we rank at the very bottom. And this is what one of the statistics that the author, he's a former writer, I believe, for the New York Times, I think. One of the stats that he mentioned on his program regarding this abysmal lack of affordable health insurance for everybody in this country, one of the stats that I think these right-wing anti-abortion maniacs ought to pay a little attention to, these Christian freaks, although their Christianity is manufactured. It's not real. And that statistic is that we are at the very bottom, we're last, of all the industrialized, wealthy nations. We are at the bottom in life expectancy for children under the age of a year, infant mortality. We're at the bottom. We're somewhere, I've read in other places, we're somewhere between Croatia and Honduras, I think. But it's horrifying. We are near the bottom where it concerns recovery from various and sundry illnesses and diseases because we simply do not have healthcare delivery in this country. I disagree with Barack Obama's approach on an essential level. I think it should be single payer. But in order not to let the perfect get in the way of the good, I support fully the idea of public option. That's one of the reasons that I have associated myself with Patriot Majority, who are demanding healthcare reform with a strong public plan option. But in remembering Kennedy, there was condolences from South Africa today, and it was pointed out Kennedy's tireless insistence that the at the time the government of P.W. Botha, the monster. The white monster during the bad old days of apartheid in South Africa and the continuing incarceration, jailing of Nelson Mandela. During those bad old days when every Republican administration in this country refused to even consider the idea of economic sanctions against the apartheid government of South Africa. And it was almost a singular action by Ted Kennedy. I realize there were other senators who spoke out, Democratic senators, no Republicans, who spoke out against the murderous policies of apartheid. Northern Ireland. I mean, you can go on and on. Kennedy spoke out wherever he knew there was human suffering or human deprivation or human inequality, or the lack of human rights. He did. And in that regard, I agree with the people who are saying that he was the last true liberal in the Senate, the last one, possibly in the entire Congress. I realize, again, that there are a couple of names that, you know, we immediately say, well, no, wait a minute. There's this person and that person. I understand. But in terms of power and his majestic presence, and I just wonder how the pigs on the right, not that I care, just curiosity, how they are, what they're bringing up today. Probably Ted Kennedy's irresponsibility where it concerned the car accident that took the life of Mary Jo Kopechne. I'm sure they're talking about Kennedy's philandering. But that's to be expected. That's what right-wingers in this country do. That's what conservatives do. That's what Republicans do. That's what the people do who are trying consciously to destroy the United States. And they are legion. They're all over the place. Ron writes, Mike, when I was a teenager, JFK was my hero. In my 20s, Bobby was my hope. And all my working life, when I was 30, 40, 50, and 60, Ted Kennedy was my voice. Who speaks for the working people now? The working class has lost a great friend, and I'm sorry to say that I think the Senate has lost its soul. Ron in Briarwood, New York.
America, one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Let's do some phone calls here. Michael is in Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I'd just like to give my condolences to the Kennedy family, and it's a pretty sad day, but I just wanted to say one thing, that Mr. Kennedy was a legend in his own mind and absolutely deserved to do 25 years in prison for manslaughter.
Yeah? Why?
Are you that stupid?
Why? Answer the question, you halfwit. Go ahead.
Answer the question.
Don't be a halfwit. Don't embarrass yourself in front of the people listening to this program. Now, I'll tell you what. Just go away, Michael, okay? I don't need to hear you tonight. 25 years in prison for manslaughter, huh? Well, you're probably right. But I just don't need to hear from right-wing half-wits like you tonight. I just don't. Some other night, okay? No, better yet, no other night. Yeah, he should have done time in prison for manslaughter. And that's the only thing your useless ass can focus on, right? Of course, you're a right-winger. Dumbass. Richard isn't in Miami, listening online. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I just want to thank you for the great work you're doing.
Oh, okay.
I called to take issue with you for your ad with the about the healthcare thing, the patriotic majority ad. But then you explained yourself earlier on. I think any bill that passes, the only way it can be Ted Kennedy's name as if it's single payer, universal health care.
Yeah.
Paid for through income tax or taxes. I don't think any half measure can bear his name.
Well, I you know, I agree with you, Richard, but I think you and I are focused enough to understand that that's not going to happen. Single payer is not going to happen in this country as long as the corporatists, corporate America, has such a death lock on the Congress. It's just simply not going to happen. But, yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Richard. So that little right-wing twit lied to you, Kathy, when you answered the phone?
Oh, yeah. You know, he said he wanted
to
talk.
Why do these bastards always lie? What
because
is it?
They're sneaky and they're scared.
But we let anybody on the... we don't screen calls out. That little son of a bitch had to lie to get on the program. He lied to you. What did he say?
Course.
He wanted to praise Kennedy?
He said he wanted to remember Kennedy. He was a great man and he wanted to talk about his legacy. And
what a cowardly little bastard.
Well, they are cowards.
You know, just like I've said so many times, there is not a right winger or a conservative or a militia type or whatever these pigs are. There's not one in America, from Glenn Beck all the way down to the Limbaugh and the rest of these people, that are not absolute stone cold cowards. They have nothing to add to the society, nothing whatsoever, except to infect all of us with their cowardly little girlish fear. That's why they all own so goddamn many guns and show up at rallies. Oh, my God. Well, we needed some comic relief this evening, and I guess the twit that called in provided it.
Well, they only make themselves look like morons that they are when they do things, little stunts like that.
To lie like that.
They show themselves off.
Yeah, I know. Just sneaky, cowardly liars. Oh, well. No big deal. Terrence is in Chicago. Hey, Terrence.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to call in and say you're doing a great show.
Oh, well, thanks.
And, you know, as I've spoken to your girl who talked to me before, this is the first Kennedy who died of natural cause. I mean, John was assassinated. Bobby was assassinated. The older brother was in a plane in World War II and blew up.
Well, his sister who just died last week.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, the family was...
And then the daughter who flew with the Duke and they crashed in the Alps.
Yeah. This family, there is no question that this family was absolutely cursed almost it, in terms of tragedy. And yet it produced a political dynasty that did so much good for this country and even dragged the cowardly right wingers along to get the benefits, even though they, you know, they would piss all over JFK's grave. They would call radio shows and say, you should have gotten 25 years for manslaughter. Oh, never mind. All right. Thanks, Terrence. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. Today, and there's bombs flying, people dying.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. All right, I want to play this this piece. This is a year ago to the day, somebody told me that Kennedy, right to the day that Kennedy spoke at the Democratic National Convention, it was billed as a surprise appearance. And this was shortly after he had found out that he had terminal brain cancer. Here's Senator Ted Kennedy.
My fellow Democrats, my fellow Americans, it is so wonderful to be here. And nothing is going to keep me away from this special gathering tonight. I have come here tonight to stand with you, to change America, to restore its future, to rise to our best ideals, and to elect Barack Obama President of the United States. As I look ahead, I am strengthened by family and friendship. So many of you have been with me in the happiest days and the hardest days. Together we have known success and seen setbacks, victory and defeat. But we have never lost our belief that we are all called to a better country and a newer world. And I pledge to you that I will be there next January on the floor of the United States Senate when we begin the great count. For me, this is a season of hope. New hope for a justice and fair prosperity for the many and not just for the few. New hope. And this is the cause of my life. New hope that we will break the old gridlock and guarantee that every American, North, South, East, West, young, old, will have decent, quality health care as a fundamental right and not a privilege. We can meet these challenges with Barack Obama. Yes, we can, and finally, yes, we will. Barack Obama will close the book on the old politics of race, gender, and group against group, and straight against gay. And Barack Obama will be a commander-in-chief who understands that young Americans in uniform must never be committed to a mistake, but always to a mission worthy of their bravery. We are told that Barack Obama believes too much in an America of high principle and bold endeavor. But when John Kennedy thought of going to the moon, He didn't say it's too far to get there. We shouldn't even try. Our people answered his call and rose to the challenge. And today, an American flag still marks the surface of the moon. Yes, we are all Americans. This is what we do. We reach the moon. We scale the heights. I know it. I've seen it. I've lived it. And we can do it again. There is a new wave of change all around us. And if we set our compass true, we will reach our destination. Not merely victory for our party, but renewal for our nation. And this November, the torch will be passed again to a new generation of Americans. So with Barack Obama, and for you, and for me, our country will be committed to his cause. The work begins anew. The hope rises again, and the dream lives on.
Like I say, there's not too many people in, if any, left, in certainly not in the Senate, who are capable of that sort of rhetoric. And when you consider that Ted Kennedy had been given a terminal diagnosis shortly before he gave the speech, I believe. I think it was shortly before. And yet he, you know, he was still willing to, I shouldn't say willing, because Kennedy, this Kennedy particularly thrived on the sort of, positioning where he was, yes, a senator, but he truly was an advocate of the people, wasn't he? I would imagine somebody out there can start digging around to do a LexisNexis search and come up with, oh my God, he owns stock in an oil company. Okay. Okay. Or like the dumbass that called in and wanted to talk about, he should have served 25 years. People like that, the reason they upset me is because they get on this program under false pretenses. If the guy just would have made his case, Kathy would have put him on, and I could have asked him, if you think that Kennedy's responsibility in the death of Mary Jo Kopechne was an atrocity, what do you think of the death of 5,000 American soldiers as a result of the lies told by Cheney and Bush? Does that bother you at all? And, of course, the answer would have been silence. Because these right-wingers have no concept of anything that is even in the same county as rational thought. And I got a couple of emails about, you know, what about Laura Bush who killed her boyfriend? Well, yeah, I mean, if we want to get into it, it's, you know, a spitting contest, sure. But the dumbass that called in, this is so representative of what this country has to deal with now. I mean, just like he probably, if Jane Fonda had died tonight, he probably would call in and remind us about Hanoi Jane, even though Hanoi Jane turned out to be a hell of a lot less blatant than, say, Colin Powell, who wound up dressed in drag dancing on a stage in Hanoi, Vietnam, in celebration of trade agreements between the United States and Vietnam. So listen, dummy, if you're still listening, which I doubt that you are, but listen, dummy, and all your right-wing dummies, if you have the balls to call this program and tell Kathy the truth of what you want to say, I'll give you a shot. Oh, I should put it a different way. I'll let you come on the air. You know, I don't believe in screening people out. I'm not the pig man. I'm not the suicider. And I'm not the boy who hangs out at the bunny ranch in Nevada, Sean Hannity. This program is pretty much open. Although in 10 years of saying that, I very seldom have ever gotten a right winger who lasted more than 30 seconds because they're consumed with their idiocy and their ignorance. And, you know, it's hard to deal with that on a radio program. But if you have something to say and you're from the right, you know, don't be a little cowardly pissant like the guy that called in. You know, when you call in, tell Kathy what you want to say. She'll probably put you on.
My trouble seems so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly there's a shadow hanging over me. I'm not half the man I used to be.
Go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. I've gotten a couple of emails about my use of the word rhetoric tonight. And people are suggesting that what I mean is the word oratory. No, I mean the term rhetoric. That's the study of the effective use of language. It's the ability to use language effectively. It's the art of prose in general as opposed to verse. The art of making persuasive speeches as in oratory. In classical rhetoric, in a classical sense, it's the art of influencing the thought and conduct of an audience. So I'm not using it in a sense like I would use it with a jerk-ass like George Bush, you know, his empty rhetoric. Usually when you hear that, anyway, used in a derogatory sense, the modifier empty is put in front of it, right? Empty rhetoric. Rhetoric, to me, is a speech that influences, sometimes in a negative way, but it is, that's how I mean it. Rhetoric, powerful use of language. Oratory, to me, is more of a poetic approach, more of a oratory to me is more theoretical, more ethereal, whereas rhetoric, especially the kind used by all three of the Kennedys, but especially Ted, was more utilitarian, more, you know, get the job done kind of thing. That's so anyway, I hope that explains it. Brian is in Manchester, New Hampshire. Hey, Brian.
Hi. I won't go too much into the lower Bush thing there if you don't want to, Mike. The fact is that what happened at Chappaquiddick was a horrible accident, but I believe lower Bush ran over on purpose her husband with her SUV, and she got off scot-free from that crime. That murder.
Yeah.
I think that there's a difference there. But the fact is...
Just one slight correction, Brian. It was not her husband. It was
her former boyfriend. Yes.
Yeah, she was teenager, right?
Okay, and a bit of the legislation that Senator Kennedy co-authored, the National Cancer Act 1971, the Comprehensive Anti-Apartheid Act of 1986, the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, the Ryan White AIDS Care Act of 1990, mm-hmm. the Civil Rights Act of 1991, the Mental Health Parity Act of 1996 and 2008, the State Children's Health Insurance Program in 1997, the No Child Left Behind Act in 2002, and the Edward M. Kennedy Serve America Act in 2009, And also throughout the 2000s, Senator Kennedy led several unsuccessful immigration reform efforts. And also, people, I know some Republicans out there, they want to also include the Nationality Act of 1965, the immigration law that Senator Kennedy helped push through there or authored. But he made many changes to that law in the 1980s, working with the Republican President Ronald Reagan in the immigration laws of those times. So if they want to get on lax immigration, they have to go after, you know, they better start going after leaders of both parties and not just singling out Senator Kennedy for something that happened in 1965. And one other last thing, he died yesterday, August 25th.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay. I know August 26th today, it's the 65th anniversary of the liberation of Paris by the Allies, the General Leclerc's forces there, Mike. And it was the Americans were truly greeted as liberators in our last good war, World War II. Mm-hmm. We've gone so far since then, and I think there's something that the good sense about, you know, I just saw Saving Private Ryan for the first time a couple of weeks back, and as a veteran, it's been hard on me to watch. it's something that war movies are usually much more, they're too abstract about the real suffering of men in battle and human beings in war. You know, that so many civilians, but his brother John Fitzgerald Kennedy too on PT-109. He again a war hero in the Pacific War against the Japanese, and his patrol boat, that's like the same kind of boat I believe John Kerry used in a similar type of craft in Vietnam. Very dangerous type of military front they were on. But he went to it in good natured spirit of the Kennedys, something I could never see from any Republican, especially not a Bush, that John F. Kennedy, when they talked about his heroism on the PT-109, he just said, well, I couldn't help it. They sunk my boat. You know, there's something about that old Irish lilting, self-deprecating almost, but every man type of equality to the Kennedys, too, that they never lost their connection. And Senator Kennedy was always fighting for the deserving poor long before this latest banking and mortgage crisis and the latest economic meltdown under this guy, George W. Bush.
Yeah, I think that was one of the hallmarks of the Kennedys. I have some problems with Bobby Kennedy and his Justice Department during Jack Kennedy's presidency, where Bobby Kennedy took the task, and I think it took it willfully, of investigating and trying to smear Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, that all changed once it became clear that ultimately they were working for the same thing. And I think, Bobby Kennedy had his conversion on the road to Damascus, like so many of these people who may have seemed to be working against the best interests of the country. And then something occurs. Maybe it was the assassination of his brother. But, I hear you. I don't think there was any member of the Senate, or the House for that matter, who did more to further the dreams and the expectations of us common people. Thanks for checking in, Brian. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. We are talking about the passing of Bobby. I'm sorry, there have been so many of them, right? Ted Kennedy today. Dave is in Chicago, listening on XM. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. I'm surprised you don't write a few zingers for the right wingers that are going to inevitably call you on a, you know, special day like today. Not the, you know.
I tend to try to pretend like they don't exist, except when I talk endlessly about the right wing media and the suicider and the drug addict. But you know, you've got to have respect for your perceived adversary if you want to, you know, score any points. And I have zero respect for these people. Nothing.
Yeah. I knew what kind of a day it was, and I delved into all the right wing talk, and it was a ball because I busted in on Laura Ingraham's program and crashed it into a wall. Mike Church program crashed it into a wall. Ant Wilkow crashed it into a wall.
How did you crash it into a wall? What were they doing?
Well,
being nasty asses about Kennedy's death?
Yeah. Oh God, you have no idea. You have no idea.
Yeah, I can't listen to that stuff, Dave. What did you do?
Well, unlike your show, when you call in a right wing show, you have to misrepresent yourself.
You have to.
They won't let you on. They don't let me on Wilkow's show anymore because I've crashed it so many times and apparently I've made somebody cry over there and they kicked me off the air and they know what my phone number is. They use caller ID.
Oh my God,
when they see my number come up, my phone automatically goes dead, but I can go and call on a public phone and it'll ring, so I know they're looking at my number,
right?
But the thing is, so I call them up and I said, you know, Ted Kennedy, you know, I kind of feel sorry for him. And he says, why? I says, well, because he's never going to have the joy of seeing George Bush and Dick Cheney get carted off in handcuffs and maybe swing at the end of a rope for the murder of 5,000 soldiers. And, you know, when that gets on the air, all those people hear it and it interrupts the brainwashing machine. and that's what I'm all about. I do it all the time.
Good for you, Dave. A guerrilla talk radio listener. I like that. I like that.
Take care.
Yeah, all right. I appreciate it. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, that's great. These rat bastards on the right need to be have their legs kicked out from under them. They really do. Because they're evil. They're just evil. Laura Ingraham and the suicider and the drug addict and the boy who likes to hang out at the bunny ranch, Sean Hannity, they're evil. They're just completely goddamn evil. And the people who listen and participate in their program are just, I don't know, they're not Americans. They're swine. Fran is in Providence, Rhode Island. Hey, Fran.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Calling from Kennedy Country over here.
Uh-huh.
And I've been with you pretty much all day because even though he's been in office since I was born. You know,
so. Yeah, you know, I've gotten a couple of emails to say the same thing tonight, Fran. Yeah, Ted Kennedy has been out there longer than most of us who are of a certain age or even aware. I guess you have to be like in your 40s to understand or to get that sense of he's always been there.
Right. And even though totally different family backgrounds, it amazes me on how somebody who had everything, a family that had money, that had privilege, that really had everything, yet gave to this country over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at another political family, look at the Bush family.
Yeah, who only took and took and took, sure.
Right. And, you know.
Well, you know, that's what, Fran, if I can interrupt, that's why conservatives, Republicans, right-wingers hate people like Ted Kennedy, because they're incapable of experiencing anything except greed and give me everything and I don't, you know, I don't care about anybody else. And when they run up against a Kennedy, or someone who a liberal, or a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, they don't know what to do. So they attack.
Absolutely. Exactly. And it's almost like a character flaw that's in there, that they have no empathy or no compassion for anybody else except themselves.
Yeah.
And yet they're the ones that benefit so much from everything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
I mean, I'll never forget my mother telling me the story of when, you know, they were taking my grandfather, took her to vote for the first time. He said to her, you know, you can vote for Republican. I can't tell you how to vote, but just remember this. They let us starve during the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
At least with a Democrat, you might get a crust of bread.
There you go.
You know, so, well, thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Fran. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Foxhole Atheist sent me an email here. Mike, in my town, the post office is not honoring a fallen senator. I also heard that other towns have the same problem. I contacted my state's governor. They even called me back to talk about the problem. The federal government has to give orders to fly the flag at half-mast at federal buildings. Mike, I served in uniform for 10 years. If our nation cannot even honor a fallen senator, how will us vets be treated when we die? Please ask all your listeners to call their senators and the postmaster inspector general if their local post office is not showing proper respect for a fallen senator. Thank you, the Foxhole Atheist. Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know the orders had to come from the federal government, but I guess so. Good idea. From T.S. in Boston, Mike, sadly the right wing, like Rush Limbaugh, has started to express delight and glee at the death of Senator Kennedy. I'm beginning to think these right wingers are capable of no emotion other than hatred. I'm proud Senator Kennedy was from my state of Massachusetts, but he helped not just the people of my state, but my country and the world. I hope to attend the public viewing on Friday at the JFK Library in Boston. I'm not religious, but Senator Kennedy did help instill a faith in me in the importance of helping others. He will be missed. T.S. From Gordon in Oklahoma City. Mike, Ted Kennedy was a voice in the U.S. Senate for the poor and the disadvantaged. He spoke up for people that too many are ordered to hate. Senator Kennedy always saw the best in the least of us, whereas right-wingers see only the worst. Senator Kennedy took it on the chin on a daily basis for people who were oppressed, even when it was unpopular to do so. If for no other reason, Senator Ted Kennedy demonstrated great character, especially when contrasted to the snakes that do nothing but hiss, spit venom, and pray for people to die. Gordon, Oklahoma City. From Clarence in Sunrise, Florida, Mike, as a black man in this country, there have always been four prominent individuals outside of family members whose pictures I have on my wall. JFK, Malcolm, Martin, and Jesus. I'm going to add Ted Kennedy and maybe Eunice Kennedy to that group. Yeah, Eunice Kennedy, she's another example of the tremendous work that she did for the people in this society who are mentally challenged. I mean, severely, either genetically challenged, like Down syndrome people, or just the fragile X, just all of these genetic abnormalities that give people just so many extra hurdles to try to get over in order to live their lives. And Eunice Kennedy was just an absolute beacon where it concerned that issue. I've got a couple more here, but we have a break, and then we're going to come back to your phone calls. So if you're on hold, stick around. We apparently are doing the entire program, and that is right and proper about the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Song I sing, you will understand. Listen, you hold the key to love and fear.
to listen to Right Wing Radio, here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Hi, Mike. In 1971, when Nixon came up with his health insurance scheme, Ted Kennedy rejected it because it fell abysmally short of the universal plan he was pushing for. Anyone with an ounce of sense knows it would be cheaper if we were all contributing to one large pool instead of paying the high premiums to insurance companies whose only mission is to collect those premiums. What's so impossible to understand in that? I believe it would be a bit of a travesty to put Senator Kennedy's name to any so-called reform that's less than what he fought for all his life. You seem resigned to the idea that it will not happen. I refuse to share your pessimism. As for those right-wing supporters scampering, squirming off while Bush and Cheney plundered the economy with their criminal war, I think you're wrong. I think it was exactly what they wanted. Right-wingers enjoy aggression, mayhem, and death. That's what I called to say, and you cut me off. Richard in Miami. Richard, I didn't cut you off. You were on for like 4 minutes, which is a long time. Richard, I did not cut you off. This is from Robin. Subject line, death of an icon, not death of a dream. Mike, what it seems the Joe the Plumbers of our society don't understand about Ted Kennedy is that someone born with a silver spoon in his mouth who never had to work a day in his life actually had compassion for those who are not so lucky in the lottery that is life. Say what you will about the origins of the Kennedy fortune, it looks to me as if Joe Sr. and Rose knew how to raise their children. All three of the Kennedy boys went into public service, not for glory, power, or riches. They went into it to help those less fortunate than they, something that seems to completely escape the Reich wingers. Many are saying today we should name the health care bill the Kennedy bill as a testament to Ted. Well, maybe. Ted wasn't just for health care reform. He was for single-payer, universal health care. If Congress wants to name the bill after Ted Kennedy, then it should be a single-payer, universal plan. Otherwise, the way I see it, it's more an insult than a tribute. Let's make that the call, Mike. Let's call our representatives and tell them that. Yeah, that's a good idea. As far as Rose and Joe, I've read two biographies of the Kennedy family, and Joe Kennedy did not raise his children to be dedicated to public service. Joe Kennedy raised his children, or attempted to acquire power. That's what Joe Kennedy was about. Rose Kennedy, on the other hand, as one of our earlier emails pointed out, Rose Kennedy had the prevailing influence on just about every one of her kids, boys and girls, that service, selfless service was the objective. But I gotta disagree with you on this one, Robin. Joe Kennedy, was a Nazi sympathizer. He was a criminal. He groomed his boys to take power. And Kennedy, Joe Kennedy Sr., didn't give a tinker's damn what they did once they got the power. I'm sorry. That's just my reading of Joe Kennedy's life. When he was ambassador to Great Britain, it was during that time that if I've got this right, that he and a couple other prominent Americans were trying to work with the British to form an alliance with Nazi Germany. Against the Russians, and against anyone else. That's all. I know it's hard to keep this stuff straight. Tad in Vancouver, Washington writes, Mike, in a year in which I have already lost both my parents, I once again was shedding tears today. I never knew him, but I have also never lived in a world without Ted Kennedy in the Senate. He entered 2 years before my birth. I admit I am prejudiced against rich people. It comes from living in constant class warfare that I'm not winning. But Senator Kennedy was different. He was a rich guy whose family didn't say, I got mine, screw you. They said, I got mine, how can I help you get yours? My only fear is that in his death, the Congress is going to ignore the bill his committee wrote and pass some watered-down garbage and then slap his name on it. We as citizens must make sure that his good name is not inscribed on giveaway programs to the health care industrial complex. My family's thoughts are with his. Tad in Vancouver, Washington. And got time for one more here? No. I'll get it when we come back, and your phone calls, because we have a monster break staring us in the face here. What's this one? I got time to do this. This is from Suzanne in L.A. Good evening, Mike. For me, the supreme profile and courage of Senator Kennedy was traveling to Denver and delivering a speech at the Democratic Convention exactly 1 year ago. As if he didn't have enough to cope with, fighting brain cancer, he was hospitalized hours before he was to speak, while in the process of passing a kidney stone. As someone who's called in sick on numerous occasions over the years for much, much less serious ailments, this was an outstanding moment for him and our history. Suzanne in L.A. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Has your computer...
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, we're experiencing a pretty intense thunderstorm here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. If you were listening online and heard the crackling and temporary dead feed, it's because we're taking some pretty strong lightning hits around here right now. Bob writes, "Hi, Mike. Today has been a very sad day for me. Even though I worked in medicine and I knew the inevitable outcome of a malignant glioma, I even lost a close friend to the same illness myself, the loss of this great man has left me grieving. Today brought back my memories of the loss of John and Robert. Ted Kennedy was my senator, and I'm fortunate to have been raised in East Boston, not too far from where Joseph P. Kennedy had his house in Jeffrey's Point. This gave me a closer connection to the Kennedys than most people have. I even know a few of Ted's distant cousins. Other friends of mine that are musicians have played at functions at the Kennedy compound in Hyannis and told me about the wonderful people they met. I first met Ted along with his brothers, John and Robert, at the Columbus Day Parade in East Boston in October of 1960. I was 5 years old, and they passed right in front of my house. I still remember running up to them to greet them and also to get some of the candy and political buttons they were passing out to the neighborhood children. My father took an 8mm home movie of it, and I viewed it many times. I grew up much like you did in an Italian-Irish household. My father and mother were Italian, and we lived on the second floor. My uncle, who was Irish, and my aunt lived on the first floor, and I spent most of my time with them. They were, in effect, my second parents, and my uncle loved the Kennedys. Much about what I know of them, I learned from my uncle. I can still remember the picture of President Kennedy right next to the picture of Pope John the 23rd on the wall. Even though today I feel as though I've lost a great man and a friend, I'm consoled by the thought that we haven't lost Ted Kennedy. We have been passed the torch to carry on. Ted was America's senator, and he will live on in our hearts and minds. Regards, Bob." Thanks, Bob. Sherry is in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? Great show tonight. Really great.
Oh, well, thanks.
For one thing, unless Obama is no longer part of the federal government, they did issue an order to have all the flags at half-mast.
Yeah.
So if people if they aren't flying it, they should call their respective court offices.
Yeah, I think Sarge sent me an email and said that occurred sometime this afternoon.
Yeah, actually earlier, about midday.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
okay.
It was earlier in the day.
Yeah.
That somebody from Texas called in on another show and said he called and they hadn't lowered it in Texas, which is no surprise. But anyway, I thought you might want to know if somebody hasn't already emailed you, because I was a little surprised to find out myself. I was really interested to hear your discussion with Kathy about Teddy's speeches. And it turns out, do you know who Bob Schrum is?
Bob Schrum? Yeah, he was George Bush's speechwriter.
No. Bob Schrum, he's a Democratic political consultant.
Oh, okay.
He's been around for decades.
Oh, okay.
But apparently he's an MSNBC commentator, too. And not a bad guy. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. But apparently he worked for Teddy Kennedy for years, was one of his main speechwriters for many, many years, and he wrote the speech in Denver last year.
Huh.
So I was shocked because I didn't think he had it in him. I mean, I always liked him, but I didn't realize, because you were talking about the consistency of his speeches, and you were right in your assessment that there was someone who had a long voice with him, so to speak.
Yeah, I think anybody, even I almost said even George Bush. well, hell yes.
Well, he couldn't put two words.
Right. Well, that's the thing. But but I think all prominent figures, especially politicians. Now, I think Obama writes a lot of his stuff.
He does.
A lot of these politicians, though, either don't have the time or the background in what I'm trying to say. The college background as an English major.
Yeah,
if they had an English major, they would know how to write. But so many people in this country don't know how to write, including politicians. Right, and hence comes the need for these speechwriters.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is listen to talk radio most of the time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, Sherry, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. All right. Great show tonight.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, we don't write. We don't write anymore. Well, we do. I mean, Kathy and I do. It's and she's become the better writer. I get kind of lazy because I probably have a million or two words floating out there somewhere. And, you know, and I just get, sometimes it's just, oh, I just don't want to do it. But Kathy has been blogging at MikeMalloy.com about three times a week. And good stuff. She writes some good stuff. Some of it a lot better than what I may post for that day. Although today, you know, today mine was kind of solemn, and Kathy's was ass-kicking the way hers always is. But I don't know why I'm going on and on about this. It's about writing. Yeah, about writing. I think both of us, even though Kathy and I are in, actually in different generations, but I think both of us grew up with school teachers who insisted, just absolutely, by God, insisted that we write. We didn't grow. She didn't grow up in the computer generation either. I mean, she certainly has become adept at it, has had to. You know, my son Chris, who is 30, he is in that generation, although he's a good writer. Chris is a good writer, too. I have one daughter who has a degree in English, and she is a writer by profession and commercial writer and makes a living. But yeah, people don't write anymore. And yes, part of the problem is all this tweet BS and Facebook and Twitter and whatever the hell it is. I get, tweets. Is that the way you say it? From people who do that sort of thing. I don't. Just the whole language turns my stomach. Facebook? Good God. Twitter? MySpace? What the hell is that stuff? You know, somebody wants to write to me. Vanity, is that what it is? Vanity? Somebody wants to write to me. Send me an email or write a letter. What? You mean on paper? I don't know how I got off on that. About people not, oh, that's right, about speech writers. People who do the writing. If you're of a certain age, which would be probably around 40 and up, you came through a good public school system, you were taught to write. Steve is in New York City. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a I am one of those right wingers that you are talking about here, and but I must admit, I don't agree with a lot of what you say, and I am a first time listener, and I probably couldn't agree if I continue listening more. But one thing I can admit, I do agree with you on today, is there's no room for throwing Ted Kennedy to the side, and a lot of the real hard right using his name in vain and throwing him onto the bus, or however else you want to describe it. This is a man who is an icon, was an icon in America, and this is a man who actually fought for the American people, fought for the average working guy. And this is a man who rolled up his sleeves and tried to pass legislation rather than vacillate, rather than sit there and posture for political reasoning. This is a man who actually even tried to reach across the aisle and build consensus. And even a dedicated Republican, I can see that.
Well, let me ask you a question, Steve. Who would you name in the Republican Party who has done not the same? I mean, nobody's done the same, Democrat or Republican. But who in the Republican Party has made the effort to, as you just said, help roll up his sleeves, help the working people, like Kennedy? Who in the Republican Party has done something? Doesn't have to be to the degree that Kennedy has, but anything for working people.
Well, for working people, I mean, quite honestly, off the top of my head, I'm not going to give you an answer. I honestly can't. And
well, then I have a follow-up question. Why, if you have, and I certainly don't doubt that you do, because you said you did. If you have this kind of respect for Kennedy, why are you a Republican? If you can find nobody, if you can't think of anybody in your party who has done these sorts of things for working Americans, and to some degree we're all working Americans, why do you remain a Republican?
No, it's a great question, Mike, and that's one of the reasons why I'm flipped to the channels, listening to something different and trying to broaden my horizons a little bit. And one of the things I've always gone over to the Republican side, albeit maybe a little socially less than a Republican, but more on the fiscal side of things. And I, being a small business owner, I'm a little more attracted to some of the Republican ideology than I am from the Democratic side.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, I'm glad you called in. I appreciate what you had to say, and I hope you'll listen to the program once in a while. There will be nights when I will thoroughly piss you off, because I do get very extreme in my beliefs. I don't mean extreme, but I mean definite in my beliefs. But call in again. We got a break now. Thanks, Steve. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy. Before the hour, thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Ben Birch, and our executive producer, Kathy Bay. Regarding what I said about writing and Facebook and Twitter and yada yada, Bruce writes it. All right, Bruce. Bruce writes, Mike, I have two nieces in Texas that I've met one time, but I love them dearly. Sure, I could start a letter writing thing with them, maybe, but I do enjoy seeing their daily posts about all that meaningless stuff you were talking about going on in their lives. With the older one, I hear her pain about an anxiety disorder and about how boys are a pain to deal with and how she hates Spanish class. And when the younger one occasionally pops up in a chat window saying hi, I just almost want to cry for joy. All things have a place in this brave new world, Bruce. Okay. I'm sure you're right. It's just, I guess it's the corruption of spelling that It's part of the irritation. I don't know. To hell with it. Ken is in Peoria, Arizona. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I'm just figuring how can I really end your show this evening with something that's really dear and near to your heart, preaching Christians.
Preaching Christians?
Yeah. Oh. I hear you get a little ticked off when you hear about what's going on here. We had two town hall meetings yesterday, one with Senator McCain.
Yeah.
And one with one of our local congressmen, Trent Franks.
Yeah.
And they were both held in churches. And the first one, McCain, he held everything into order.
Well, wait just a second, Ken. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Kathy says you wanted to talk about Kennedy and your life. And it doesn't sound like that's what you want to talk about. We'll give you another shot some other time. What the hell's going on tonight?
I said it was like the way Kennedy's life events.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, the way Kennedy's life events connected with his. Well, that has nothing to do with McCain's town hall meetings, right? Chris is in Albuquerque. Hey, Chris.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, I didn't lie to Kathy. I want to talk about exactly what I told her. I'm going to miss him a lot because I'm 60 and he's been a big part of my life politically for a long time. I don't believe that he's ever done anything politically that I disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
He did have a couple of human faults there, but that guy who called earlier, Mike, I guess, I'm sure he's a good Christian, and I'm sure he forgives him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sure. Apparently. Sure.
Yeah. What I mentioned to Kathy was I'm a disabled vet and chronic pain, and it shows up on X-rays, so it's not like a mystery thing. And
mm-hmm.
once in a while I'll drop into a well of depression, and I did last night. And then Cassie came on,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it was like she was like a life preserver. And then I was up most of the night listening to the radio, and I heard about Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not a mystically inclined person,
mm-hmm.
but like you said. She's going to do something, you know, one side or the other, or spectacular.
I just had that feeling with, you know, we met her when she was a kid, met her on the phone when she was a kid, and now she's a young woman, 18. And, I just have a feeling about Cassie, Chris, and apparently you do, too.
I do, too. No, yeah. I vaguely remember hearing her, you know, before.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, she kind of, last night, you know, freshened the memory up. But, like I said, I'm not a mystical person, but, you know, maybe Cassie will do something and, somehow, these two people will connect. You know, I don't know. You know, that could be just, you know, like, you know, mystical drivel or something. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it makes me feel good.
Well, you know, and my attitude, Chris, about, you know, mystical stuff or spiritual stuff that starts to take form is what John Lennon said, you know, Vladimir Lenin, but John Lennon, whatever gets you through the night. And, you know, I say that without trying to be snotty or flip or pandering, condescending, you know, whatever gets you through the night, gets one through the night, so to speak. And the night is either the real night or, you know, part of your experience that can be dark like night. Chris, we're almost out of time. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. I'm a full blown atheist. I make no qualifying statements about that. And you know, I wasn't brought up to
you know, they didn't get me when I was a child and say, we're going to make you into an atheist. You know, I mean, I was brought up in a very traditional Protestant, with a traditional Protestant background. You know, I've just come to it as a result of my own personal journey. As far as some of the teachings of some of the religions, sure, there's some wonderful teachings, you know, the golden rule, so-called, that you find in every religion. But you don't have to be religious. You don't have to subscribe to a religious dogma to understand that it's better to you know, treat other people the way you would like to be treated. That is not, to me, that's not religious. That's just, I mean, what would you call it? Survival? I don't know. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow night, everybody. Thanks a lot for hanging out tonight. Although it has been a sad day, I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Announcing the